there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I am your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator with the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Today, I am talking with Cassie Keller with the Oregon Department of the State Fire Marshal. I am looking forward to this conversation about getting wildfire ready. Welcome to Conservation Spotlight, Cassie.
Hi, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, it's a beautiful morning. The sun is shining and summer starts next week. But with that, in the Northwest comes dry conditions and higher risk of wildfire. The Polk Soil and Water Conservation District recently received grant funding through the National Association of Conservation Districts to work with our community to help build fire resistance on properties, particularly forested properties. So I hope this message reaches beyond just Polk County, because this is great information for everyone. So I'd like to dive in and find out how our listeners can prepare for a wildfire. So Cassie, for those that may not be familiar, can you tell us about the Oregon Department of the State Fire Marshal?
Sure. Our department has been serving Oregonians since 1917, and we actually refer to ourselves simply as the Oregon State Fire Marshal, or the OSFM. Our mission is to protect people, property, and the environment from fire and hazardous materials. So last year was a big year for us as we transitioned from an office under OSP to our own agency. And most people, I think, when they think of the OSFM, they think of wildfire, but we are so much more than wildfire. We have five divisions: business services, education, fire and life safety, regulatory services, and emergency response. But naturally, as we are heading into fire season, wildfire response is top of mind for a lot of people, including us. We do manage three all-hazard incident management teams that respond to wildfire conflagrations, and we work with the Oregon Fire Mutual Aid System. So basically, we work with all the structural fire service agencies across Oregon, 300 plus of them. And if there is an incident like a wildfire or a flood, something like that, we work with the structural fire service to send people to help.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And I'm sure our listeners are already have their wheels turning and they're curious. Getting back to wildfire, how are most of the wildfires started in Oregon?
Data shows us that most wildfires are actually started by people. So last year in 2023, 70% of reported fires were human caused. And of that 70%, the top cause is escaped debris burns. And then the number two cause is equipment use.
Equipment such as, like, what are some of the equipment that people have on their property that may cause a wildfire?
That's a good question. Really anything. If you're mowing lawn when it's too warm, if you are using heavier equipment like chainsaws, et cetera, if you're working on your defensible space on your property, any type of equipment that throws a spark into some dry grass can start a fire.
Yeah. And so what are some things that may put a property at greater risk of devastation to fire?
Sure. So we tell people that the most important thing that a home or a property owner can do is create defensible space. I'm sure listeners of this podcast know what defensible space is, but if you don't, to describe it simply, it is the area that you've landscaped or maintained around your property in a way that protects it against wildfire. So if you haven't worked to create defensible space, that is what's going to put your property or home at a greater risk in case of a wildfire. So for example, things like bark mulch, that stuff is really combustible, and a lot of people have it up next to their home, touching their home. Defensible space would be removing that bark mulch and replacing it with something that is not going to burst into flames. Dead trees growing under eaves or touching your home, or things like debris that is on top or under decks. Those are really simple examples of defensible space.
How can people create a defensible space on their properties, Cassie?
That's a great question. If you have not started creating defensible space, I know that it can seem like an overwhelming concept, but we really like to think of it as breaking it down one project at a time. Pick up one weekend for one project and then just keep going. Start in those first 5 feet around your home. Get anything that can start on fire away from your home. Remove dead branches, pine needles, anything like that off of your roof and your gutters, and clean your deck off. If you have any dead vegetation, trees, plants, etc., that's touching your home, remove those, trim those, get rid of it. If you have bark mulch, again, that's a really important overlooked one. Usually it's touching people's homes. Get rid of that bark mulch and replace it with decorative rock, gravel, even dirt. Another really easy one that's going to offer a lot of protection are those exterior vents on your home, like attic vents or soffit vents, or the areas that are below a deck or a patio. If you add 1/8 inch metal wire mesh to those, that's gonna stop any embers from getting in and starting a fire. If you need extra help, or you just want a professional to come and help give you some ideas of how you can make your home or property safer, we do offer free defensible space assessments to any home or property owner. If you visit OregonDefensibleSpace.org, you can request a time, so schedule a time that works for you, and either a deputy state fire marshal from our agency or someone from your local agency will come to your property, walk your property with you, and give you some great advice for your individual property on how you can make it more protected against wildfire. And one important thing to note too is spring, before it warms up, is a really great time to take care of some of these defensible space projects. You're not going to want to do them in the heat of the summer. However, during the summer, you could request a defensible space assessment and then start planning for those fall projects.
That's amazing. Is that available to everyone in Oregon?
Yes. Any homeowner, property owner, even if you're renting a space and you just want to be more protected, you can have an assessment.
I love that. And so what are some other ways that we can be more wildfire aware?
So there are many things that we can do, many categories of activities that where being wildfire aware is going to help prevent a fire. Something like debris burning, that's a big one. First of all, check to see if you need a permit. Keep your burn pile small. Always have water and a shovel nearby. And then when you're done burning, make sure that your burn is completely out. Another big one in our beautiful state, people are going to be traveling. Local trips, longer trips. Before you travel, make sure that all of the parts of your vehicle are secure and not dragging. Dragging chains could spark a fire. Also, do not drive or park on dry grass, whether it's tall or short. That could be not great. If you are at home and you're grilling, keep your grill away from your home. Dispose of coal or ash only after it's cool. Keep that container 10 feet away from your home. There are so many different categories of activities that we need to be wildfire aware with. We have a great webpage linked on our homepage. It's called Be Wildfire Aware right at the top of the page. It's going to give tons of different wildfire awareness tips.
Thank you. Yeah, you mentioned if you're doing any debris burning that you would need a permit. Who should we reach out to for that?
Check with your local fire agency. Different agencies in different counties have different rules.
Got it. Thank you so much. Yeah, just a quick update. If you're just joining us, I'm here with Cassie Keller to talk about the Oregon Department of the State Fire Marshal, or OSFM and how to get your property ready for wildfire. And you're listening to Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. Okay, Cassie, what does a typical response to wildfire look like in a county like Polk County? And how can community members be proactive and prepare for response?
So the day-to-day fire response is something that is taken care of by your local fire agency. However, there are times where the OSFM might be in your community, and those times would be if a conflagration is declared or if we are positioning resources ahead of a wildfire in your area. As far as being prepared, again, we would tell all homeowners and property owners to be prepared for wildfire by creating and then maintaining your defensible space. Creating defensible space is one thing, but we have to be really cognizant to keep it maintained because plants grow back and die continuously. Some other important things to keep in mind are know what the evacuation levels mean, and then have a go bag packed and ready. If you need any more information about that, the Department of Emergency Management, that's a good resource. And then you can also sign up for emergency alerts at oralert.gov.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We'll have links to that on our website. Those are great resources. What are some of the behind the scenes things that OSFM and partners are collaborating on to help communities address wildfire challenges?
This is a great question. I know I said this before, but prevention is really a cornerstone of our work. We work really hard to prevent all types of incidents, wildfire included. We have a robust grants program. Since 2021, we've issued more than $82 million in grants, and most of these dollars have been given to local communities and organizations to get prepared for wildfire. And we actually have an open grant right now, and it is to create defensible space and community protection projects. And if anybody's interested, I think it's open till mid-July. Those details are on our websites on our grant opportunities page. A major initiative of our agency is called Fire Adapted Oregon, and it is an initiative that's all focused on prevention. So through Fire Adapted Oregon, we have an entire unit of staff for a community wildfire risk reduction unit, and we have staff all across the state. We call them fire risk reduction specialists. So if you are a community organization or group or an individual who's looking for help with wildfire or preparation at home, if you reach out to our agency, we can put you in contact with your local person.
Thank you so much. How can our listeners get more information on these topics?
So the place to request the defensible space is going to be OregonDefensibleSpace.org. And our main website is oregon.gov/OSFM.
Thank you, Cassie. If you could ask the community to make one change in relation to the work that you do, what would that be?
Know your local restrictions. Before you use equipment, before you burn, before you even think about having a campfire, know what your regulations are, especially as we head into wildfire season. People are our biggest asset in protecting Oregon against wildfire. So if you do check and there are no restrictions, always be fire safe in all of your activities that you're doing. Our biggest ask is to have everyone help us protect this beautiful state that we love.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much, Cassie. I've been talking with Cassie Keller with the Oregon State Fire Marshal about all the ways we can best prepare for a wildfire.
And while you're listening in and we're talking about wildfire, I want to share with you the other partners that we've been working with to develop a wildfire ready program. You can go to the page on our website, polkswcd.com/wildfire-ready.html.
This is a hub for those that want to get information about how to prepare their properties for wildfire. We recently partnered with different agencies to host an information session with rural Polk County residents. Those include Southwest Polk County Rural Fire District, OSU Extension, the Marion Polk Small Woodland Association, the Oregon Department of Forestry, and the Lucky Amute Watershed Council. Let me explain a little bit about these organizations and how they can help the community. The Southwest Polk Fire District is a combination district with both career and volunteer personnel. They serve a landscape that includes farmland, forest land, and vineyards. Their district includes an area of 123 square miles with a population of approximately 6,100 people and over 2,600 residences. Reach out to Southwest Polk Fire if you're interested in volunteering for current burn restrictions and for a defensible space assessment if you live in their district. OSU Extension is a wonderful resource for all Oregonians. In Polk County, we're lucky to have Laurel Sherman, OSU's regional forester, and Kayla Bordelon, the regional fire specialist for the Willamette Valley and the North Cascades. Wildfire makes a profound impact on people, land, animals, the environment, and the economy. And as the population continues to increase, homes and communities expand to new rural boundaries and fires become more a part of the changing landscape. Oregonians are faced with the challenge of preparing, preventing, and recovering from wildfires. The Forestry and Natural Resources Extension's fire program works to foster fire-adapted communities through outreach, education, and engagement. Next, we have the Marion Polk Small Woodland Association. This is a group dedicated to the protection, management, use, and enhancement of Oregon's forest resources. Their vision is to see privately owned family woodlands a thriving part of Oregon's landscape, both now and in the future. They do this through educating and informing the owners of forest tracts and the public regarding family forest management issues. Next, we want to highlight the Lucky Amute Watershed Council. Their mission is to engage and assist landowners and communities in the voluntary protection, restoration, and enhancement of the Lucky Amute and Ash Creek watersheds. They do this through broad and informed public participation in the ecologically and economically sound sustainability and improvement of natural resources and environmental quality of the Lucky Amute watershed. Lastly, we'll mention the Oregon Department of Forestry. ODF's mission is to serve the people of Oregon by protecting, managing, and promoting stewardship of Oregon's forests to enhance environmental, economic, and community sustainability. And that mission begins with fire prevention. Make fire prevention a priority in your life by being good stewards of the land. Stay up to date with fire restrictions by looking at the fire restrictions map on ODF's website. You'll likely hear more from these organizations in the near future on an upcoming episode of Conservation Spotlight.
And I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator for the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We're grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on any of these topics and our upcoming events, please visit our website, polkswcd.com, and our Facebook page for follow-up information, including a link to the Fire Marshal's resources, and other wildfire-ready information. And if you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday of every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening and your light shining.